interesting.
And see, that's what I want to know about. I'm going to get over real close to you. Today is February 11th, 1993, and I'm in the home of, it's Miss Bessie Hardy.
Right.
And tell us the year when you were born.
1901.
1901. And where were you born?
In Surry County.
Uh-huh.
This North is Carolina.
North Carolina. This is interview number one, and it's for Stokes. It's for Surry County Historical Society. And this is Ann Phillips, and I'm here with Miss Ruby Stanley, and we are with Aunt Bessie. The washing, and Ruby Stanley wants to ask Aunt Bessie a question about that, about your the washing.
Aunt Bessie, you told me something about a little island near a spring and how you did several different things in regard to the household chores. You
right.
Tell us about what all the things you did there.
We lived up toward Cross, down in kind of a low place, so went on the highway. We didn't have a highway then, we just had dirt road. But it's down in that low place, and we had a big spring down there, and an island around like that. We had a dry house to dry our fruit, our apples and peaches. We had a cane mill, an evaporator, and all there, made our own syrup. We had a furnace with two big wash pots in that, then our bench,
yep.
And our wash tubs,
yep.
And all. And that's where we stood there and rubbed our fingers raw on the washboard.
My goodness, and that was near the spring.
Can you give us a year, a time period, Aunt Bessie, when you were doing this? From the time you, did this occur from, say, about the time you were born on up until how late?
Well, now let's see, I moved up there in 1913. my daddy bought that land and we moved there then, 1913. And we lived there till I was married in 1921. That's how long I lived there. Worked on the farm, helped dig ditches, sprout new grounds, cut corn stalks.
And you did all of that?
My sister and me were the oldest, and the boy wasn't big enough to help Dad much when we moved there, so we had to be his boys and help clean up land and do all those things. And I've cut persimmon sprouts off of this field down here since I've been down here, since I've been married.
Is when that right? Yep. This way, I guess this would be east of the house, west of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Turned around. Well, what did you use to cut the persimmon sprouts here?
A mattock.
Well, when you were clearing new ground, how did you do that with your father?
Well, you see, they had cut the timber off. It was, I didn't help grub the big stumps, but little stumps and sprouts and all. We used a mattock. We dug them out with a mattock.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a whole lot of elbow grease and time, too.
It would take quite much elbow grease for that. Would you ask the questions you like?
One of the things I would like you to tell Ann, and I would like for others to know about, is the care when you were young that you had in regard to your health. Was a doctor available? Was a midwife available? Can you tell us about some
yes,
of that?
Yes, there was midwives, and they were called upon more than the doctors to deliver the babies. And we had a doctor, old man, Dr. Flippin, lived at Siloam a long, long time. He was our family doctor. And then, of course, there was doctors at Mount Airy and Dobson. If we needed one different to tell Flippin.
Mm-hmm.
But back earlier, You told me, I believe, of one time someone needing to go to a hospital and they were taken on a train to Greensboro, and another incident of someone going all the way to Baltimore.
My grandfather was taken to Greensboro for surgery, and my great aunt was carried to Baltimore for surgery. They about 1904, somewhere along there, as a little girl.
Was that on the train?
Yes.
Where did they get on the train?
They went to Ararat. It's the closest station. They got on there.
Mm-hmm.
And one went to Baltimore and one went to Greensboro.
Do you remember what the surgery was for? For either of them?
Granddaddy had cancer. And Aunt Joanna, I believe she had appendicitis, best I remember. She had appendicitis. Well, maybe they operated on Granddad first for appendicitis, but it turned out to be cancer.
Did they call it cancer at that time?
Yes, it did, later. Mm-hmm. It never would heal, you see. And his side drained a long time. And finally, cancer just took his life.
And then the lady who went to Baltimore.
She got all right. She raised a big family, come home and did just fine.
Mm-hmm.
We used to rough it.
Yeah.
I went 22 year, honey. I didn't see a doctor at all.
You did?
Since I've been married.
Is that right? And what year were you married?
21. I went 22 years that I didn't even see a doctor.
After you got married.
Right. This was after my children come along. I was through with that job. Then I went 22 years. I didn't have a doctor.
Would you tell us how many children you had?
I had 9.
I remember you told us a sad story about your second baby. I believe it was your second baby.
Yes, she took cold and developed pneumonia. She's 7 weeks old. Passed away. And then, I lost my oldest son. He was 52. He had cancer. And we didn't dream of him having cancer. He was working in the furniture factory. And he thought he strained his back pushing a cart of lumber. Kept complaining with his back. Finally, his wife just insisted that he go to a doctor and find out what was wrong. Well, he went. He had cancer, the kidneys, the liver, just the whole thing. Didn't live but just a few weeks after he quit work.
Where was he living at the time?
He was living in Lexington, North Carolina. His widow lives down here now. You know where the Norman place is.
At the Norman place, and one of his daughters married Grover Scott's grandson, is it?
His son. Grover Scott's son.
You know, Anne has interviewed Grover Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bill stopped here yesterday. I was at the mailbox, and he come along, and he stopped to talk with me a little bit. I seldom ever see him. He works just regular.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to get out there at the mailbox and stop talking with him a few minutes.
Tell us about how you managed to do all the daily chores and look after this large family and sometimes work in the field. How many hours a day did you put in? What were your days like?
I have put in 18 out of the 24. With a big family, cows to milk, chickens to feed, and all that, done my washing by hand. Didn't have a washing machine till 35. So I washed overnight. Not a big wash, but I'd wash up the clothes they took off that day and their socks and things of a night sometimes. try to keep ahead. If I got behind, it's too bad.
Where did you get all the water to do that washing every night, you know, at night?
We have a well here in the porch. Now, at my daddy's, we had a spring. It was about as far as down to the barn down here, a real big spring.
Maybe 100 yards or 200 yards?
But it wasn't over 100 yards.
Uh-huh.
That's where the island was, and we had that cane mill and the evaporator and the dry house and the wash tubs and all. It was small, but it was well covered.
I thought that was one of the most interesting things I had heard
about. Yeah. That's amazing. So you washed it at night after you'd put in a whole day's work.
Right, and after, as the children come along, I'd have what they call, the colored woman called a knee baby. That was one walking, standing around, one on my lap. So after I'd get them to bed, I did my ironing, my sewing, peel apples or string beans for the next day, have them ready the next morning. Come out of the kitchen of the night, sometimes 1 o'clock, the perspiration running off of me. Cooking on a wood stove canyon. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling facts.
Yeah. And that's just the way it was. Yeah. How did you do all that ironing and just heat those irons on the stove?
Had them at the fireplace in the wintertime when I had a fire in the fireplace. Set them in front of the fire there and heat them.
Yeah.
There's a, one of the neighbors said one day, he said, "How did you ever keep 5 children in school at one time?" I said, "Well, it wasn't easy, but it can be done." I said, "Sometimes I iron one a shirt while he eats his breakfast or a blouse for one of the girls." And he laughed at me. And I said, "It's the truth. I'm not telling it different. A lot of times I'd be pushed up with my work. And they needed that blouse or that shirt, and I ironed it while they ate their breakfast. Got them ready to get on the bus."
I remember you were telling me that one time you went to visit your parents or visit somewhere and was gone for a week, and about the enormous number of shirts you had to iron when you came back.
During that week after I come home, I ironed 30. And I didn't leave any when I left. I didn't leave any. It was, but I believe that was when Job was staying with us too. And Dorothy, she, if you remember, she wore overalls and shirt just like a boy. And my 4 boys and Dorothy and the husband and Job didn't take long to have 30 shirts piled up here.
That was all cotton. Were they like a denim? Well, I know a, what kind of material.
This is all cotton. Mm-hmm. Wasn't any rayon or nylon, nothing like that then.
Where did you get the shirts? Or did you make them or buy them?
I made the boys' shirts. Now, I never did make John Marvin's shirt, but I made the boys' shirts, especially sports shirts, short sleeves. Mm-hmm. And I made their underwear, their little shorts.
Did you? Yeah. Made that out of what? What kind?
Any kind of material I could find that was suitable at all.
Mm-hmm. Were there stores nearby where you'd get material?
No, it was.
Or did you order?
About 15 miles to Mount Airy. Mm-hmm. That's it. I did a lot of ordering from Sears and Roebuck.
You did?
I told them the other day, you know, they quit sending out their catalogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Sears and Roebuck used to be the main store. But Kmart and Walmart and all give them some competition. So they're not as important as they used to be.
So people around here, were you the only, did a lot of people rely on the catalog?
Yes, a lot of people did. We didn't have a way to transportation except a 2-horse wagon or a buggy. and I could stay at home and work and order my material.
Mm. The Sears Roebuck catalog had two big uses, didn't it?
Right.
One to order from, and one in the house for the house out back.
One in the back house. And sometimes give one of the kids one to sit down on the floor and look at, keep it busy for a little bit. But you know, Ruby, then we saw more real pleasure than people see today.
There were not a whole lot of distractions, were there?
No, there wasn't.
You could think about one thing without being disturbed.
Right.
You had to be creative. You had to think about what you wanted to do. You didn't have something just flooding in all the time, taking up your time.
No.
You didn't have to stop and answer the telephone.
Did you ever, did men ever help with the cooking or washing or ironing? Did any men around?
No, John Marvin was as hard a working man as you would have found anywhere. You know how he was, Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't drink, he didn't have bad habits. I lived with him 42 years and I never heard him curse the first word.
My goodness.
Now, I was telling somebody here one day, I said, I'm ashamed of my four boys. I said, their daddy, I lived with him 42 years, and I never heard him curse a word. And I said, my four boys, I'd curse the same word as the rest of them.
You know, I never heard my daddy say
they didn't. Now, Grover would say damn sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know he said that back to his mother just in conversation. He wanted to say it to her. She said, Don't you cuss back at me. She didn't believe in cursing or ugly talk now. Just don't she have that around me at all.
And Grover was?
My husband's brother.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And her daddy's brother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Bessie, you also told me about what Grandma Hardy had told you about their early life, about how she came in here with Grandfather Hardy when they were first married. Would you tell Ann a little bit about that?
She said they came from, let me see now what she called it. I think it's North Wilkesboro is where it was, but it wasn't called that at that
Brushy
time.
Mountains.
Brushy Mountains. She rode a mule behind her husband when they was married, and she come home with him. She was 14 years old, and he was almost old enough for her father.
Not 26, I
believe. And said they had one pillow for a long time. I said, how'd you sleep, both of you, on one pillow? She said, I slept on his arm most of the time.
Oh.
He had the pillow, and she slept on his arm.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about what he said to her though when they were about to break up before they were married. You remember what you told me that she said? That
he told her that he asked her to marry him and come on home with him. He said, it's just too far. If we don't get married, I'll just have to quit coming for so far. And then it was walk or ride a mule. So she decided just to marry him and come on home. And there's him and two brothers lived down here, not too far down the country here. They had three cabins, just a small little one-room cabin. Three of them living down there one time when she come down there. That was the home that she come to, was his little cabin.
Yeah, and there were three of the cabins in a row, and she and her new husband stayed in one of them.
They were not that close together. Each
no.
of them had a tract of land, didn't they?
Yes, he had several acres of land, Granddaddy did, Mr. Hardy.
Yeah.
And him and two brothers had their little cabins here and there. Mm-hmm. I guess it was all fun in there on that little, on that track.
Well, this was down here on the Yadkin River.
On the Yadkin River.
Oh, a couple of miles away, maybe even less.
Near Siloam. Yeah. Which way would Siloam be from here? Or how close?
Well, it's further from Siloam than it is to where they farmed. Mm-hmm. Now, like
but
here.
They were on the Yadkin River. Mm-hmm. Do you know what brought your grandfather here to the Yadkin River area? Why did he have land here?
I don't know now, that far back. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember. I heard Grandma talk a lot about living down there and all, but I don't know. I really don't know where they were really. Do you remember him?
No,
sir?
I don't. I don't know why the three of them came here, because there were six in all of the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And was Milt who came here, and Grandfather who was Charles, or Charlotte. Was it Charles?
Charles.
Charles.
And John.
John.
As Howard's father.
John was Howard's father.
Mm-hmm. And Jim. There was four of them. And Jack, he went to Virginia. I don't know how come he broke away from the family and went to Virginia and raised his family out there somewhere.
Then one went to Boone, didn't he?
I think so. Yes. Mm. There was seven of the boys, weren't there? Nine of the children, is the two girls that lived. There was three that passed away, two infants, and one little girl had the measles.
Now, you see seven of Grandma and Grandpa Hardy's children.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That incident about the measles, tell Anne about that, of what Grandma Hardy said.
She said, John Marvin was, that's my husband, he was just getting grown then, and they all had the measles, all the children, and she said that John Marvin was so sick, so real sick, and his little sister died and was buried out here, Poplar Springs Church. And she said, I was almost afraid to leave John and go to funeral, afraid he'd be dead when I got back.
My goodness.
Grandma had it rough with the, all that bunch of children. Yeah. And she told me she'd work in the field till 11 o'clock after her boys were getting grown to see their father passed away when Job was just 8 weeks old. And it's just her and the boys singing. And she said she'd work in the field till 11 o'clock, come to house and cook lunch then for a big family on a wood stove and carry water 100 yards or more.
Mm-hmm. There was not a well that was close to the house at that time, was it?
No, huh? There's a spring well down there. There was that spring, but I know.
But in my time, they had a well.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I know Grover told me one time about, they told him to go get a bucket of water. And he went somewhere, there was a big mud hole, and he dipped him up a bucket of water out of that mud hole and brought it to the house.
I don't guess that went over very well.
Another time, I believe that was Burge, had to go feed the hogs. And he was just a boy, and naturally he didn't want to go. It dark. He took the bucket of feed out there and poured it out down the hill. Never even went to the hog pen at all. Just poured it out.
Human nature doesn't change a lot, does it?
That's what Richard Simpson said. He said, nature is just like it's always been. It don't change at all.
What about music? What did people, it was such hard work, what did people do for recreation? How did you survive?
Well, as far back as I can remember, they had the banjo and a fiddle. That was the most musical instruments that I ever saw a long time ago. And I know there was Wright Ashburn and Uncle George Brunner made music one time, what they called a school break in the last day of school. Mm-hmm. They was there with a fiddling banjo. One of them had a fiddle and one a banjo. And they made music, and I thought that was the nicest I ever heard. It wasn't used to hear. Now, my daddy would pick the banjo a little bit, but not like Uncle George did. And, of course, he didn't have the fiddle or anything else for a long, long time. He bought us an organ then after we was getting up toward grown.
An organ for in the house at mm-hmm. home? Was
right.
The pump, your foot pump organ?
No, we fettled it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you know some of the old tunes? Do you remember any of those old tunes? Say this when you, this would have been when you were a little girl, born in
1901.
Do you remember any of those early tunes?
I remember some of the love songs, and they played the would pick Cindy on the banjo. Had one called Cindy and Sally Ann. They had named after people.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had love songs as Bury Me Beneath the Willow. And oh, different ones like that. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear Froggy Went A-Courtin'? Was that one?
Right.
Was that one that you...
After I was getting up toward grown, they had that.
Yeah, but not right early.
I believe it was on record. They had the graphophone, they called them.
Like the Big
played.
Crowers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They played that. That was a wonderful thing, too, when the Big Crowers would come around. Everybody wanted one, I reckon.
Did you have one at your house? The kind you crank?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have one?
Yes, we did.
Do you know where you got it? Do you remember where?
Some agent brought it there and sold it.
Really?
I believe it was a Marion. I'm not sure. If it
Harmon Marion, I'll tell you.
I think
Harmon Marion.
I think that's right.
Was a blind man. Let's see. He was blind until he was 21 years old. And I think his father paid for his surgery to have, it was dangerous, and paid for his surgery when he was 21 years old, gave him a choice of mm-hmm. having the surgery.
Right.
And then he tuned pianos.
Right. Yes, he did.
And if it, that was who it was out there.
Mm-hmm. And his name is
Harmon
Mary. Was he from around here?
He was from Shoals.
From Shoals.
His father was my mother's first cousin. No, my mother's uncle. He was the first cousin.
Mm-hmm. From the Shoals area.
Mm-hmm. And he drove this little A-model car
mm-hmm.
with the back slanted down. If somehow he could haul these things on.
There was a little back to those cars. I forgot what they called it, but they could,
I don't know.
I know we, a bunch of us went to Mount Airy one time, and Grandma and Jim and me and John Marvin. John Marvin sat back there where the one room, and just the one is what you call a roadster with that back to it. And
now this is different from the rumble seat that came about, let's see, sometime in the 30s. Or are you thinking about the rumble seat?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know, I remember very well we had bought the children some overalls and things, some clothes. And he said, if we tried, there was four of us, and it would be so crowded to all sit in one seat. And he said that we're liable to lose some of those packages. So he sat back there with him in that mm-hmm. little place.
Right. So you all would go to Mount Airy maybe if you were going to buy things.
We had to. Mr. Harbor had a store up here, but that was only one anywhere in reach of us that would sell the different merchandise and all.
Right.
He had grocers and clothing, shoes, hats. All that.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, we thought we'd get things cheaper now there, some of the stores we could.
Yeah.
Than we did here.
Yeah. The name here, how do you spell the name here for this Harper?
Harper.